Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody because today I am going to be joined by you. It is a Mailbag Monday episode. It was an eventful weekend, I would say. For those of you paying attention to Lakers coverage, it has been a crazy weekend, so I am happy to be back here. With Luke Walton remaining employed, I am still employed. You guys hopefully are all still employed with whatever you guys are doing. I'm here to open up the iTunes mailbag and see what might be going on in your guys' minds and the topics that you guys want covered. I got a ton of questions, so thank you to those of you who sent those in. And just a reminder, if there is any kind of topic that you guys want covered, the best way to get that discussed on the show is to send it onto the iTunes reviews in the form of a 5-star review, and I will get to them. Today's show is going to be brought to you in part by Mazuma, as well as other partners. But let's go ahead and get to this thing, right? So the first question comes from McNugget2483, and they ask, JaVale has been playing a lot of minutes so far this season, over 20 minutes in all the games. Do you think this is sustainable? Does it go to 20 to 25 minutes instead of the 15 to 20 that people predicted in the offseason and preseason? Obviously the Lakers just signed Tyson Chandler. And I think they did that recognizing that, hoping that JaVale McGee remains healthy throughout the entire season, playing 20 to 25 minutes or 20 to 25 minutes plus. I think the front office recognized that they couldn't rely on that. Both in terms of JaVale McGee's asthma, it's a condition, it's a literal condition that's going to be a concern moving forward. And then also, like, you can't only have a single player at a very important position on your roster. So I think what the Lakers did, and shouts to Magic and Pelinka. I think they deserve credit here. I think I know a lot of you guys think that I'm way too hard on both those guys, but the addition of Tyson Chandler is going to be a big one because the Lakers really need one player, and they needed another guy at that position who wasn't going to be a disaster moving forward. And good on Magic and good on Rob Pelinka for recognizing that need and filling the need. So that's going to be interesting to watch how that plays moving forward. But to answer the actual question, yes, JaVale McGee was playing too many minutes and the Lakers were relying too heavily on JaVale McGee, I think JaVale deserves a ton of credit for the way that he has handled the situation that he was given. He has been really good in the role that the Lakers have asked of him, even if it's a bigger role than he has played over the last few years. I think he has really done well to fill that role so far. I just think it would not have been smart to hope that he continued to fill that role as it was currently constituted moving forward for the rest of the season. Those are very different points that can remain true at the same time. All right, so the next question here comes from QBreezy12. Final thoughts on the Dodgers season. What are my hopes for this offseason, i.e. term and length of Kershaw's return, Machado, Harper, etc.? So I don't think Machado is coming back. If he was open to it, which I don't think he is, I don't think he liked being a Dodger. Like, if I was being completely honest and based on some of the stuff that I've heard, he didn't like being a Dodger. But if he was, or if he liked being a Dodger enough to want to come back, I think he's talented enough that I would want him back, because at the end of the day, you want your team to put together enough talent in that same respect. In terms of a Kershaw thing, that's tough. I mean, in terms of sentiment, I think it's really cool that Kershaw is back, and when I get to tell my grandchildren one day about watching Kershaw pitch, I think it'll be really cool that I'll be able to tell them that I only watched him pitch for the Dodgers, and he is one of the greatest pitchers of all time. So in that respect, it's cool. I don't know about $30 million, and I don't know about 3 years. I just don't think he's already breaking down. And it's not like he has this incredible history in terms of the stuff that the Dodgers are hoping to get from him in that role. I'll say this. If he's okay with not being the Dodgers' ace moving forward, then all right. Then the signing or the re-signing makes sense. But if he's hoping to be the Dodgers' ace moving forward, then I think they're in some trouble. I'm going to take a quick second here, sorry. And when we come back, I'm going to get back to the rest of you guys' questions. There are a ton that you guys have asked. I'm going to start moving more quickly through them. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Mazuma. Mazuma USA has been just tremendous in dealing with me and helping me through managing my own small business here. So if you are a small business owner, or if you are a single party business owner, I think you really need to talk to our friends at Mazuma. For only $75 a month, packages start at a place where you can get bookkeeping, CPAs, accounting advice, taxes advice, all of that stuff. They take care of all of it for you. They work with you every step along the way. So I'm going to give you their number. You call 213-947-6926. You can set up a free consultation to figure out which package makes the most sense for you. Again, that's 213-947-6926, and they'll figure out what makes the most sense for your small business. And I'm sure that a lot of you who are listening right now have some kind of small business that you are hoping to have grow while still maintaining your passion in that business itself. Mazuma helps you make that happen. So again, give them a call at 213-947-6926. That's Mazuma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, everything that you might need. Give them a call. We're going to take one more second here, and when we come back, I'm going to answer the rest of your questions. All right, so the next question here comes from Toscabella. I'm being facetious, kinda, but things are going so poorly, they've improved. Would I ever trade LeBron, and if so, what kind of return could the Lakers get? One, I would never trade LeBron. You're not going to get equal value. If I was to trade LeBron, it would be... So, for example, right now, the Minnesota Timberwolves have Jimmy Butler on the trade market, and the Houston Rockets are willing to offer 4 first-round picks for him. I'd ask for 8. If that's the relative market, I would ask for 8 first round picks for LeBron James. He's just that valuable. He's that good. And the other thing too is, like, again, I would never put him on the market. I don't think the Lakers should ever put him on the market, because that would signal them recognizing, yep, this was a failed experiment, and the Lakers just are not in that business right now, or nor have they ever been. So if you're the Lakers, you make this work. You have no alternative. And so far, I mean, before this last game against Toronto, so far, so good. to be honest. And even against Toronto, they were blown out for most of the game. But even at the very end, they still tried to come back and make a game out of it. And so long as the Lakers remain competitive, there's just no point in trading LeBron James. Next question here comes from eGains12. Here we go with the LeBron tantrum BS. I'm actually going to read this verbatim because it's such a hilarious question, premise, whatever. So here we go. Here we go with the LeBron tantrum BS. How about play some defense, LeBron? How about show up in the clutch? Jimmy Butler showed LeBron what being clutch really means. He is on the Lakers, not in Cleveland nor Miami. He is not bigger than the organization. It's hard to listen to Lakers podcasts these days. You all give him such a pass. You all act like he's bigger than the organization. The Lakers have been in position to win every game this year, and the so-called best player in the world mostly can't get it done. The games the Lakers have won was because of Lance. You guys always bring up analytics. Why haven't you all brung up how bad of an analytical defender LeBron has been? All I hear is, oh, he's 33 years old. Let's allow him to conserve his energy for the offensive end. I say no. If he's going to be this horrendous on defense and this horrendous in the clutch, then it's no way we should be allowed to condemn any. He should be allowed to condemn anyone. The Lakers and media needs to remember who the Lakers are and not allow LeBron to dictate the organization. It's ridiculous. I have no response to that. I really don't. It was just such a phenomenal question that I just felt like reading it out loud. All right, next question from LA24825. Hi, I love the show, but do you think LeBron goes off for 50 or even 60 points at all this season? Last year, his high was 57 points. If so, who do you think it would be against? I don't think he really goes off for that many points this year. I think he has multiple 40-point games and multiple triple-doubles and stuff like that. But in terms of like just straight scoring output, it just doesn't make really any sense for him to do that. The Lakers have scoring on their roster elsewhere. So it makes more sense for him to try to have an impact all over the court versus just in straight scoring output. So if I had a guess, I think maybe he tops the 50 mark, the 50-point mark, just for no other reason other than, like, hey, I can, and reminding people that he can. And I think if that happens or when that happens, it would be in New York or something like that, just to get a few extra eyes on the Lakers. But as it stands currently, the Lakers are much better off when he focuses on making an impact all over the court and trying to win games that way. I have one more question here, and after that question, we will take a quick second. This is from I'm Drew. Why must we be constantly reminded that Magic Palinka did not hire Luke? I think it's a redundant point that is constantly being thrown around as if we are waiting for the shoe to drop for his termination. Is there some actual news to report, or are we in the business of just spinning stories that aren't fully reported? Does Magic actually like Luke as a coach? Does he actually believe Luke is the guy for the job? If not, then who? Is Phil Jackson on the horizon, LOL? I kid. Love the show, and I hope you choose this for the mailbag. Well, I did. I'll say this. I wish the stuff that I heard surrounding the Lakers sounded more supportive of Luke Walton. I'll put it that way. I'm not here to say that Magic has gone out of his way to try to fire Luke Walton. He obviously hasn't put his foot down in hoping that he can fire Luke in the hopes of hiring other people. I can confirm Chris Broussard's report from the last week or so that if Luke Walton was let go, that Magic Johnson would like to hire Mark Jackson or Jason Kidd. But as Magic said before the Toronto game, he is saying that Luke Walton is at least going to finish this season. Hopefully he being Luke lasts beyond that. But if you guys are frustrated by the amount of speculation about Luke Walton's job security, go bury your head in the sand. That's just it right now. Luke Walton does not have the type of support that it would be nice to be able to have from Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. That's how I'll put it. I'm sorry. I wish what I was reporting right now was not to that point, but that's kind of where the Lakers stand right now. Next question here comes from Vontae35. Why did the Lakers stop running in the last 6 minutes of the game? Honestly, it makes no sense whatsoever to me. Pete and I spoke about this a couple shows ago, and that point I think is going to be worth continuing to go back to over the course of the season, especially while the Lakers' offense kind of just struggles down the stretch. But that's kind of where we stand right now, is that the Lakers need to pick up their offense down the stretches of these games. And unfortunately, because they continue to try to slow down the pace and use as much clock as possible, their offense seems to be struggling in the half court, and especially late in clutch situations. I'm going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to get back to the rest of your guys' questions. Thanks again to those of you who sent these in. The next question that we have is whether LeBron has been too passive with the Lakers so far this year. So hang tight. I'll come back to that here in a second. All right, this comes from Jacob A. Peterson. Do you think LeBron is being too passive to start the season? I know he wants these young kids to play and learn, but he seems a little too passive. I think there's something to that, but I think that is a net positive for the organization. LeBron is trying to figure out, and the entire Lakers organization is trying to figure out, who makes the most sense moving forward for everybody involved with this year. And given the way that has gone, I can understand the frustration from fan standpoint. But at the end of the day, the Lakers need to figure this stuff out. And I actually kind of sort of like that LeBron is willing to step back and be a part of the process of building a sustainable organization moving forward. So I can understand both sides of this. I think it's a good thing that people are frustrated with losses. I think it's a good thing that players are frustrated with losses. But at the end of the day, if I was to try to figure out what's best for the organization, I think at the end of the day, the best thing for everybody involved is that Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, all of those guys figure out how to be successful next to LeBron in clutch situations. That's just me, though. Next question from Canon 5D2. What do you think about just having B.I. playing the point and Josh Hart playing the shooting guard? Lonzo and Rondo come off the bench depending on the matchup situations. Lakers have so many playmakers. Can they play a point guardless lineup? With this lineup, front court defense will be suffocating. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, in theory, not having a point guard out there at all times kind of sort of makes sense because you have LeBron in those kinds of situations, but we've seen it already this year, and it hasn't looked good. So I think the Lakers should stay away from it. Even if LeBron is your pseudo point guard in those kinds of situations, at the end of the day, point guards just approach the game differently, and it's always going to be valuable to have that type of player, that type of approach to the game on the court as often as possible. So in that respect, I think either Lonzo or Rondo should be on the court at all times. Last question here. This is from Laker for Life, Go Lake Show Go. This is a question for you and for me and Pete. Something I noticed about B.I. is that his twitch muscles reaction and first step seems slow compared to elite players around his same size. It's a longer question than that. I think that has a lot to do with just how long he is. Even if you watch, like, if you watch Giannis Antetokounmpo go out there and play, his movement is not like quick. It's not quick twitchy. He's just insanely strong. He's insanely athletic, and he makes it work. And I think that's where the Lakers are right now with Brandon Ingram, is that they need to see him develop athletically and physically over the next few years to be able to have that same kind of impact. I understand the frustration watching him play, especially like releasing a shot. It feels like it takes a long time, but that's just the way things are going to go right now. So we'll see how things go. Look, Brandon Ingram is what? Barely old enough to drink legally. It's going to take a long time for him to develop into the player that he's going to be moving forward. And we'll just see what that player looks like in five-ish years ago, or years from now. So, good questions, though, everybody. I really appreciate all of you guys taking time out of your days to fire up the question machine, send in your five-star reviews to iTunes. Those things help the show, and they help me continue to provide this type of content to you guys. So make sure you guys are following the show. Make sure you guys are following Locked On NBA Network on Twitter, so that you guys can, it's a great way, if you aren't able to watch each and every single game, it's a great way to stay in touch with whatever might be going on across the league. I host Locked On NBA on Fridays. Check out that show. Have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to you tomorrow.